Lead, guide, direct all of this service as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z in the word boldness, we'll pick it up in Proverbs 28. Just the first of the Proverbs here in Proverbs 28 and verse 1. Very simply put, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. When you receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, when you trust in God, the Creator, the one who's in control of everything, it gives you a boldness, it gives you a fearlessness that the rest of the world cannot even comprehend or understand. All right, now, if you will, turn on over to Isaiah. This is a very interesting one that Brother Paul actually brought to my attention here recently, and I thought it would be a good example of boldness. In Isaiah chapter 6. Now, Isaiah was a prophet and called by the Lord to be a prophet. And he developed a little bit of a doubt in himself because of what he considered his own uncleanness. And we see how the devil can do that to us. He'll try to bring things up from our past or even from our present to prevent us from being a good Christian or being a good witness or having a good testimony or doing the work that the Lord has set before us. We'll think we're not good enough, that we don't qualify, that we're too vile of a sinner. And Isaiah deals with this here in Isaiah chapter 6. Pick it up in verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Now these are the words of Isaiah. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He didn't feel like he was worthy to be given this awesome image, this awesome vision, and the awesome task of being able to preach and prophesy and spread the gospel. As it continues, Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. So the boldness that was given to Isaiah because he realized he's been cleansed, that his lips were no longer unclean. And aren't you glad that you don't have to go through that experience that he had to go through to know that? All we got to do is know the finished work of Jesus Christ can cleanse us completely from top to bottom, make us from scarlet to pure white, and be able to use us in the way that he wants us to be used. No matter how horrible of a sinner you once were, that we can be cleaned by the finished work of Jesus Christ. And that we don't have to go through the experience of having a hot coal pressed before you, pressed against your lips to get your attention and let you know that you've been cleansed because you've been chosen by God. But it resulted in him having the boldness and going ahead and doing the work that was laid out for him to do the rest of his days. The more boldness that was given as a result of God giving the boldness to someone, and here to Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 1, look at two verses here, or three rather, 17 through 19. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 17 reads, Thou therefore gird up thine loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. These are words that are being given to Jeremiah. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defenced city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. So when you know that the Lord's with you all the way through it, and that He'll never leave you, you can go into whatever challenge that He puts before you to achieve, and you can achieve it by His power and by His might. All right, now go on over into Daniel. The whole book of Daniel can express boldness in the lives of these young men that were taken captive. Now, the setting of Daniel is during the beginning of the Babylonian captivity of the children of Israel, when King Nebuchadnezzar sent those troops and they took captive the people of Babylon, the people of Jerusalem, and took them into captivity into Babylon, is the setting that we have here. As it reads in Daniel chapter 1, let's go ahead and start right from the beginning here so we can see how this unfolds and see the boldness of these young men after what they've had to go through. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Asphenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. So some of these that were taken captive, the young men were taken in to this group that would be trained. And it is believed, but it isn't documented in the scriptures, that when they took young men captive, that they made them eunuchs. And to be made a eunuch means that they were actually castrated, because we see no evidence or no record of any of these four that we're going to be reading about ever having a family, having any kids or anything. So it's believed that since they were taken into the group of the Chaldeans, the magicians, the people that were given the authority, the rule over the different departments under the king, that they were made eunuchs. As it continues here in verse 5, and the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now these were most likely young teenagers, maybe adolescent, maybe in their teens, but they were very young men. As it continues in verse 7. Unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and the name unto Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah Obednego. So you got Shadrach, Meshach, and Obednego, and Belteshazzar. But all through the book of Daniel, you'll hear known as Daniel, not as Belteshazzar. But that was the Babylonian names that was given to them at this time. Now, this food that was given to them, we see how bold Daniel was in his approach here, or his response to that, in verse 8. But Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Going back to the ordinances of the Mosaic law, the meats that was in that would have been meats, because they were pagans, it would have been meats that had been sacrificed to those pagan gods. And it could have possibly also been some pork in that as well. And the forbidden meats. And as well, if they were going to take a Nazarite vow or something like that, that they would stay away from the wine or the fruit of the vine altogether. So they refused or purposed in their heart that they not have to consume such items. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed you meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? So he's thinking that if you guys don't eat the same food that they have set aside, that they're not going to be as healthy. Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king, because he has responsibility to take care of these young men, to make sure that they're healthy and make sure that they learn. Present them to the king in an approved way from what they got them. In verse 11, then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Say, pulse. What is that? It don't sound very appetizing. But pulse is actually, would be a vegan diet, you might say, a vegetarian diet. None of these other things that they were talking about eating. None of the meats of the king, because it wasn't safe to eat those, because they may have been sacrificed to the pagan gods, or it may have been pork in that. So it was better just not to eat it. As it continues in verse 13, then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. Okay, let's put this to the test. Let us have our meals. You let them have their meals. They can eat all that meat and wine and so forth. We'll stay away from the meat and the wine, and we'll see who looks the best after 10 days. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these four children, which would have been Daniel and the other three they mentioned, they, as it continues, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. So he gave him what he asked for as far as the food there, and that took a lot of boldness for Daniel to step up and proclaim, because of his faith, because of his beliefs, not to eat that ungodly meal. All right, let's roll into Daniel 3 here, and we see how these three of these four here, the three that have been named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what befalls them and how they proclaim their trust in the Lord and show their boldness in chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 3 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors and the captains, the judges and the treasurers, the counselors and the sheriffs and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And then the princes, the governors, the captains, and the judges, the treasurers, and the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king, "Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Why didn't they? Because it was part of the Ten Commandments, not to be worshiping idols, statues, or anything else of that nature. So they did not. But that took great boldness, that took great faith. But they even displayed more faith and boldness as we see this unfold. Chapter 3, verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Such a statement is right to the point of blasphemy there. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, and this is a display of their awesome boldness and faith and trust in the Lord. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter," or overly concerned in the use of the word careful here. "If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." Note the way that he puts this, that they have faith and trust that the Lord is capable of it. Whether he does it or not, they're still going to be standing true to their faith. "But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." To have the boldness to stand strong on your faith, even at the point of facing death, they displayed awesome boldness in doing that, saying, no matter what happens, even if you throw us into the fiery furnace, we are not going to forsake our trust and beliefs in God Almighty. See how it unfolds here in verse 19. "Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his vestures was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heeded. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So hot that the men that took them close enough to throw them in were killed by the heat of the furnace. Verse 23. Then these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astounded and rose up in haste and spake and said unto the counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire was passed on them. They come out of that furnace, not even smelling like the smoke. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Because of their faith and their trust and their boldness, they had an awesome testimony right there to the king, to the point where it helped him come to the point where he was acknowledging the power and the authority of God. All right, let's look at Daniel chapter 6 here. Of course, this is one about the boldness of Daniel himself, and another decree that went out quite some time later, but it went out during the reign of Darius. And chapter 6 reads, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes which should be over the whole kingdom. And this is the kingdom of Babylon and surrounding areas that they had conquered. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. This is how powerful that Daniel had become, all the way up to that high of a position in the politics or the political scheme there of the king. Verse 3, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because of an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find an occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. All the rest of the rulers got jealous. They wanted to do something to condemn him, to falsely accuse him, to broadcast fake news. You might like that one. Against him. But what did they come up with? Verse 5. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. He couldn't change this. If he set out this decree and signed that, it was permanent. He did this. Reads, wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. And that's the boldness right there. And even though it was against the law to pray, he went ahead and prayed. And what happens? They decide that they're going to bring that accusation against him. So they do. And of course, he doesn't deny it. And over in verse 15, then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, now, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thou God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Isn't it awesome that King Darius had that kind of faith to proclaim that? And of course, as we know, they cast him into that den, that lion's den there. And it upset Darius to the point where he couldn't even sleep that night. On over in verse 18, then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. So the boldness that he expressed right there and displayed in not going against his beliefs and his practice of serving the Lord, no matter, even if it came to the threat of death, even under these false accusations, but he stood true to his faith all the way through, which became an awesome witness and testimony of the boldness of Daniel. That's all we have time for, so let's go ahead and close here. Lord Jesus, and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. It is so powerful. These events that took place so long ago, how we can still learn from them today. Learn that we can be bold as well, as bold as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as bold as Daniel, and as bold as the others we read about. Because we know it's by your power, your might, that we can do all things, not by our own, but by your power. Help us to have that boldness to step up and proclaim you as Lord and Savior every opportunity that comes our way, and shine your light into this dark world that we are in. We thank you so much for the opportunity as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you all.